Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo zdrav v intervjuju Radija Študent, v katerem nocoj gostimo člane zased Three People in Polk Machine. Obe zasedbi boste danes 11. februarja nastopili v klubu Gromka v novi ediciji serije Defonija, kjer bodo v bolj hrupni maneri v okrilju elektroakustične improvizacije v presečiščih raznolikih zvočnih prak zgodili dvojec Polk Machine v postavi Mateo Muredu vokal in CD player in Anders Hana iz dvojca Moha na sintetizatorju in bobnih, na to pa še trio Three People v zasedbi Ignac Šik, gramofoni, elektronika iz Perlonex, John Herge na kitari iz norveških noise legend Jacka Merin, Morten J. Olsen, druga polovica dvojca Moha na bobnih in elektroniki. Ja, hrupno bo, poslušamo nekaj ekskluzivne muzike, na to pa sledi intervju. Okay, there is quite a crowd in this studio. We have all the members of two groups, Polk Machine and Three People, in the studio of Radio Student. So first of all, I would like to welcome you all in the studio and in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, where you will perform tonight. But I would like to start with a question regarding your tour and the problems I've heard about that started with your performance in Budapest.
What problems?
What problems? It's just
driving all night. It's all.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Or maybe if I put this question wider, the problems of touring, of getting this kind of tours together. In my experiences, there is quite a problem always with some group coming out from, let's say, so-called experimental music scene, of getting tours, dates and places, not only in this area of East Europe, but in general.
Yeah, I mean, also there was some last minute shows, for sure, which mm-hmm. also included Budapest, but yeah, as we say as a rule, it's better to still keep playing than have a day off. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the worst thing. So then, yeah, then you sometimes have to deal with having a last minute show, mm-hmm. which means that people don't have time to promote anything, and there won't be that many people attending the concert. Mm-hmm. But it's still our choice, so we're also willing to deal with the problems regarding that.
Yeah. Many times touring musicians who are here, for instance, musicians coming from Scandinavia or Switzerland, have their tour been possible only because of, let's say, some funding they got.
Yeah.
This is also probably a problem in a way.
Yeah, this tour, we don't have so much funding.
Yeah, you have to compete with others who have funding. I mean, some mm-hmm. some get a lot of funding, and mm-hmm. some in the jazz scene get plenty of funding, and then others, experimental music, don't get funding, so you have to compete with them, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's also always very different in the different countries.
Yeah,
it depends also on which country and how much the country supports their artists or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe particularly difficult of this project is that it's like from different countries, like yeah. the musicians, and so we have to find a way, maybe in the future, yeah. to find mm-hmm. find it. But it's not. It's also getting tougher. Like mm-hmm. in Germany, it's been really going down.
Yeah.
And but it's always depending on the individual country. Like if, like, I don't know, France sends around musicians sometimes, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Italy has nothing, no?
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Not at all.
Well, Italy is notorious for being quite difficult of organizing tour. Also, a lot of times I see that, like, a tour happens when some artists have, like you mentioned, a concert in a environment of some, let's say, well-funded festival or something,
yeah.
Or well-funded kind of like place where it happens, and then they organize a little tour around that.
But
that is quite different. The places are different from, let's say, some high cultural places or bigger stages of a festival, and then some smaller clubs, etc.
Yeah.
So there can be quite a variety of experiences. The fees are different, probably, yeah. etc.
But for us, it's both the bands are really new,
mm-hmm.
and this we never really played outside of Berlin. We had one show together in Berlin.
Mm.
And this is our first tour,
mm-hmm.
so we are really trying to really settle the music, and we really want to play,
mm-hmm.
and we just have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And now also because of that, it's really hard to get the funding because nobody knows the bands, nobody knows anything about
mm-hmm.
it. So we would always just reference to the what everybody else did with other bands.
Yeah.
So both bands are really unknown to everybody, basically.
Mm-hmm. So how do you present yourself, let's say, to promoters or the public? Mainly, as you mentioned, through the projects that are around these bands, to the projects and the bands and that you work.
Yeah,
otherwise.
Everyone involved in this tour has a
mm-hmm.
quite big reputation by its own, and
mm-hmm.
so that's why how we managed to book that tour, I would say, because there's.
Yes, based on everything else than the actual two bands on tour.
Yeah.
And but that was, we were absolutely aware of that, and but we wanted to do that tour to bring the music more forward, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we're not complaining, we want to say.
Yeah, and how does all the different experiences of your work that you do in other groupings or individually come together in the music of both bands? For instance, in a way, how do you see it? Do you see your music as a kind of blend of all these kind of experiences, doing free improvisation, working in with noise, etc., or is this something completely?
I think it's a lot. There's a lot of the different stuff that we've been doing before, but also as musicians and not. Necessarily as bands, but as musicians, a lot of what we have been doing is coming through in these two bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But still, I think they are quite unique,
mm-hmm.
and have their own voice. These
mm-hmm.
two bands too.
There has been a lot of talks in recent years, especially some of you work also in the field of. Let's say so-called electroacoustic improvisation or the field that's been mainly regarded as noise, and there has been a lot of talks in recent years about the aesthetic differences between noise or electroacoustic improvisation, etc., Berlin reductionism, etc., etc. So these two bands seems kind of being away from this discussion, or can we say that they are also a kind of reaction to these discussions and happenings?
I mean, it's maybe a problem more of media, how they perceived the Berlin scene,
mm-hmm.
and not so much what was happening in Berlin scene the last
mm-hmm.
15, 20 years.
But wouldn't you see also that it was not so much also about the media, but also about the records that were released and or the one that were getting attention in a way?
I think it's more about what got attention. I
mm-hmm.
mean, because this, I mean, this September, I will be organizing a bigger festival in Berlin, which is about the so-called scene. And it will be more about this time showing, like, there's all this, like, vast variety, stylistic variety.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's more like what the writers are picking on in certain magazines and what they focus on, or certain people they think they're known.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of change, of course, also in Berlin in the last years, of younger generations appearing, but there's always been both, like the super reduced playing, mm-hmm. but also noise scene. And it's just like, yeah, as I said, a question of what journalists focus on or what they cut out.
Mm-hmm.
But
am I a part of the younger generation?
I don't know.
but would you also say that maybe also when you mentioned ultra reductionist scene, or that it also got a bit now different than from a couple of years ago?
Musically, of course, it's always in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always changing because people keep on developing their music. But I don't see kind of like that people stop doing something because of it's probably over or something. I mean, there's still like very minimal styles of playing happening in Berlin. There's just like more like this kind of like hardcore phase around 2000-2001 where people were really focusing a certain scene on just like one particular research. I mean, that is a little bit over. Many people do various things at the same time, I would
yeah.
say, involving in different styles and projects.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is kind of special, both of the sort of improvised noise in all of this scene, is the that most people there embrace the diversity
mm-hmm.
more than the media, or more than what you'd think,
mm-hmm.
because people come to, let's say people come to Berlin and they expect there to be sort of this rigid scene
mm-hmm.
and this conflict between what's going on now and what is this over, or is this what's happening now and what was happening before. But most people are very diverse musicians, the ones I know and
mm-hmm.
know of,
mm-hmm.
and they work on different fields, because I mean, you can't really say put reductionist in the phone book, like
mm-hmm.
your occupation reductionist, you wouldn't be able to make a living on it. So most people have to do very diverse work anyway.
Yeah, I would agree with that, although I have always these bad experiences with a lot of people that I know that are following this kind of music. The listeners,
yeah.
they are really kind of purist in
some,
a way,
yeah,
how
yes,
they
yeah.
how
it's
they think about music.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and I've seen this in listeners, but I never seen this in musicians themselves.
I would even say that they are the biggest reductionists. I mean,
yeah.
they kind of reduce you to one particular style, and if
yeah.
if you do something in the other, then it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Berlin is kind of a focal point in this, but I would like to talk a bit also about the relation and differences between, let's say, Berlin and Norway. Here in, at least in Ljubljana, in last couple of years, we had a lot of artists from Norway,
mm-hmm.
from variety of fields of music. But we got this great picture of a scene where everybody is collaborating with everybody. They get support from the states, the music schools and conservatories seems to be very open-minded, etc. So I would like to ask you both from Moha, why did you leave Norway for Berlin?
Because Norway is lame. No, I mean, we didn't really collaborate with that many musicians from Norway anyway.
Mm.
And he already, you left...
I left Norway 10 years ago because
yeah.
I thought it was too close-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my impression is the opposite of what you described. But I mean, there's the same thing that we just talked about. It's what comes out, like the journalists, what they pick out and they want to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily the truth. I mean,
yeah.
it's true that there's a small scene in Norway and everybody knows them, and they happen to be, they have shown that they're pretty good at exposing themselves. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's something to that, but conservatory is a conservatory, no matter where yeah. you, I mean, that's just yeah. another mindset, and it's nothing to do with what we are doing, you know.
Well, that's good to break up the picture. Also, can we break up the picture of Berlin?
Yeah,
we get the opposite picture of Berlin, where the steel scenes are this scene or this scene or this scene.
No, I mean, this really, I had a big kind of discussion with some, like getting angry at this like wire perception of Berlin scene, because
mm-hmm.
and because this is actually absolutely not the case. If you come to Berlin and you like check what shows are going on over 1 week, and you go to you can see so many different music, and this is just not just this kind of 2001
reductionist thing. What is the wire thing. Perception?
Well, the usually it's like they always nail it down to this kind of like core idea of 2001,
okay.
lowercase reductionist, blah blah blah, improvisation,
yeah. Yeah.
And it's like even like if you send CDs to the Wire, it gets to certain two journalists who write about that.
Okay,
they
it's
like
that genre where they want.
Yeah, yeah, and they compare everything like certain people do, or what happens in Berlin to a certain phase of maybe
yeah.
a certain people in 2000.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely not the case anymore, and it's never been the case.
No.
I wanted to ask you individually about your other project also, but I won't. I would rather ask you, what is the future of both projects, the Poke Machine and Three People? Do you plan to, after this tour, maybe to work in the studio or to release some material, etc.?
Yeah,
yeah,
we do. They are already ahead of us. They released a cassette that's already sold out. I think they printed 10 copies. And
but the cassette as a medium is getting back, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
No, definitely it's the tour is a vehicle to develop the music also, since it's like a lot of it is based on improvisation, and then to really figure out what it is we're doing and then put it down to tape yeah when we get yeah. back home.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a logistic situation that Jon is based in Norway and we are in Berlin, so
yeah.
for Poke Machine it's a little bit easier as they're both living in Berlin, so we have to kind of like have these work phases, and usually it's as it was not really funded yet, we had to be very compact in the timings and
yeah.
get the schedules together, so that's we needed that tour to be ready for recording, and that's going to be the next kind of project, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, looking forward to hear you tonight, and I hope some of our listeners will also join us. So I wish you both groups great concert and
thanks.
Better time in Ljubljana. Hope the organizer won't get drunk or something. okay, thank you. Torej, tole je bil intervju s člani zased Poke Machine in Three People, ki bo nocoj v hrupnih spontanih vibracijah stresali klub Gromko v šeni ediciji oddaje Defonija. Koncert se prične ob 10. uri zvečer, sledi pa mu rešetanje Radija Študent, zato vsi vabljeni na Metelkovo. Intervju sem pripravil Luka Zagoričnik.
Intervju Radija Študent.